Section 9, Dado Rinpoche and the Path of the Buddha. When I was in the midst of writing the survey, a Tibetan friend asked me to help him with the English of an article on Buddhism in Tibet that he had agreed to write for an American publication. The friend was Lobsang Phuntsok Lalungpa, an official of the Tibetan government who had grown up in Lhasa and now lived in Kalimpong, and the publication was The Path of the Buddha, a book aiming to present Buddhism from the Buddhist point of view. Helping Lobsang with the English of his article actually involved the complete rewriting of some 300 foolscap pages of manuscript. My friend's command of the tongue that Shakespeare spake being then quite rudimentary. Though the work was onerous and could hardly have come at a more inconvenient time, I did it willingly. The more especially when I discovered that in writing his article, Lobsang Phuntsok was not drawing so much on his own knowledge of Tibetan Buddhism as on the knowledge of an eminent incarnate Lama who afterwards became one of my most revered teachers. This was Dado Rinpoche, the greatly precious one of Darsendo. For a period of several months, therefore, I not only carried on writing the survey, but wrestled with Lobsang Phuntsok's grammar and syntax, not to mention his spelling and handwriting. Sometimes what he had written was so confused as to be unintelligible. When that was the case, I was obliged to call on him for verbal explanations of what he was trying to say, and these explanations often led to our becoming involved in prolonged doctrinal discussion. Such discussion did not always succeed in making his account of Shunyata or of the Trikaya doctrine seem any the less confused, with the result that he had to refer back to Dado Rinpoche, the original source of his material, for further clarification. Having done this, he could be sure that whatever explanations he now gave me were correct, and I, for my part, could be sure that in rewriting his pages in accordance with them, I was not misinterpreting Tibetan Buddhism. All this naturally took time, but eventually the work was done and the article dispatched to the United States, where, after being edited and drastically shortened, it appeared as Chapter 6 of The Path of the Buddha in 1957. As so often happens, a benefit conferred turned out to be a benefit received. As a result of rewriting Lobsang Phuntsok Lalungpa's article, and especially as a result of the prolonged doctrinal discussion to which this frequently led, in the space of 3 or 4 months, I received from him, and through him from Dado Rinpoche, a comprehensive grounding in the history, the schools, the doctrines, and the practices of Tibetan Buddhism. A grounding that often went far beyond the topics actually dealt with in the article. At a time when reliable books on Tibetan Buddhism could be counted on the fingers of one hand, the experience was of immense value to me. And laying down my pen after rewriting the last sentence of Lobsang's manuscript, I felt as though I had been given an intense course in the subject. Nevertheless, owing to my preoccupation with the writing of the survey, I was not in a position to absorb what I had learned to the extent that I might otherwise have done. Though traces of my newly acquired knowledge of Tibetan Buddhism are discernible here and there in my magnum opus. Among the topics with regard to which I was unable to absorb what I had learnt was the topic of going for refuge, which was dealt with in a short section of the article entitled The Three Precious Ones, i.e. the Three Jewels. According to Lobsang Phuntsok Dado Rinpoche, Tibetan Buddhists took heartfelt refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and this taking refuge in the Triple Gem was the most fundamental belief and most widely accepted practice in Buddhism. Preceding all other religious acts, such as reading of scriptures, making of solemn vows, receiving ordination, performance of ceremonies, and practice of meditation. Moreover, Tibetan Buddhists placed great emphasis on the good intention preceding the taking of the three refuges. The intention must be of a sincere and benevolent nature, supported by a strong resolve, and the vow itself, i.e., one's going for refuge, must be constantly borne in mind while performing any religious practices. Most important of all, the taking of the three refuges includes within its scope the taking of all the principles of Buddhism. One who does not take the triple gem is not a Buddhist. The full significance of these statements, especially of the last, dawned on me only later as I became more closely acquainted with the Tibetan Buddhist tradition through the study of books and through personal contact with Daro Rinpoche and other incarnate lamas. But before proceeding to deal with this stage in the history of my going for refuge, which in a sense constitutes a continuation of the stage dealt with in the present section, I must say something about my contact with Buddhists of a very different type, a contact which, in its own way, also contributed to the process whereby the meaning and significance of going for refuge became clear to me.